You're listening to Fox Sports Radio. Radio.
Sunday Night Football, where the Patriots beat the Chiefs 43-40 last night. Kansas City narrowly covering the 3.5-point spread. RJ, what is the Las Vegas perspective on the Pats' win last night?
Yeah, it sounds like a boring game. 43-40. But I think you got to start with the offenses and not just with these two teams. Fez, if we look at the world-class offenses, and we could sit and make a list, but most people know who's on that list, and we could debate a team or two being on the list or not. It doesn't matter. These world-class offenses seem unstoppable in pretty much any situation, even a team like Jacksonville. It was supposed to be the classic line, the immovable object against the irresistible force. But somehow, wait, Jacksonville, who had the best passing defense in memory last year, in the, you know, some would say in the modern era, you know, since the rules started getting tweaked, and a rookie or a first-year starter, no problems. You look at Brady and Belichick, yeah, and we'll talk about the age of that team and what we saw last night, but pretty much, you know, it's not the defense stopping them so much. It's they've stopped themselves sometimes. You look at the Rams, they haven't been stopped once. Is this a situation that, and maybe it's the question that needs to be clarified. Because if we say, oh, offense is all that matters, defense, forget it, doesn't really matter. Well, then what's going on with the Ravens? Right? A team that's given up 15 points in the second half this season. Not last week, this season. Now think, six games, 12 quarters in the second half, right? Two times six, 15 points. That's like 77 Steeler stuff. They give up 30 points in their last 10 games. Now, that was the whole game. But actually, mathematically, that's about the same. If you think like one point and change. So it can't just be no defense can play well. I think what it is if you have an elite quarterback, means you probably have an elite offense, unless you have such a bad supporting cast. Maybe Seattle falls into that category. But pretty much every great quarterback has a really good offense, and they seem borderline unstoppable. Thoughts?
I agree, and it used to be the narrative. Great defense plays great offense. Advantage, great defense,
if anything. Especially in the playoffs.
Especially in the playoffs. I think we got to rewrite this whole script, RJ. Great offense against any defense, even an elite defense, advantage offense.
And Colin on the Herd today made an interesting point. He said if you watch the end of that game, when the Pats got the ball with over 2 minutes left, they were very conservative past the two-minute warning because their goal was, we are highly confident we can go down and get a field goal. We just don't want to leave any time. And I mean, we don't want to leave 35 seconds left. And they were willing to say, let's be extra conservative, decrease our chance slightly from scoring, but we're still going to score a big majority of the time, but we don't want to give the other side the ball. I mean, think back to the Steelers. As a fan, I remember this clearly, against Green Bay in the Super Bowl, what, 7-8 years ago. The Steelers got the ball with 2 minutes, if I remember, about 20 seconds. They were down five or whatever. What, a touchdown would have won it for them. And Big Ben couldn't even, I think he got one first down. Now listen, let's give Big Ben credit. He's gotten a lot of first downs and a lot of late drives in his career, and we'll be talking about one of them in the next segment. But the idea, the Pats almost, it was a foregone conclusion they were going to score. It was just how much time can we take? Now that's a little extreme. It wasn't a foregone conclusion. But boy, is the best offenses are on a plane relative to the defenses I have never seen in the NFL.
Yeah, agree. And fundamental shift in basic strategy. 3:30 to play, RJ. You're like, we got to get down the field and score. The Patriots, like you said, it was almost like they had the lead. Let's ground and pound, get one first down, and then we'll turn the offense on with 2 minutes left to make sure Kansas City doesn't get the ball.
RJ Bell straight out of Vegas talking with Steve Fezzik, NFL expert, pregame.com. All right, Fez, let me ask you this question. Let me ask you a side question. You are a master at in-game betting, within the game betting. Do you remember what the odds were when the Pats took the ball with, you said there were three and change left?
Yes.
Well, you remember the odds?
Yeah, the Patriots were, I believe, minus 230 to win the game at that point.
Okay, so like 70-plus percent to win the game. All right, that's it. And I bet if they would have said, will they score here or not, it was over 70 because they were assuming there was a chance they'd score and Kansas City would have a chance to score.
Sure. Right,
that's built into that number. Let's talk about each of these teams individually. Kansas City, I think you've got to upgrade them. Now, that sounds crazy. They lost the game. Now, they did cover, as Jonas said. They did cover by a half point. And you had New England, let's be honest. But looking at that game, I believe that it was another level of pressure. I know Mahomes played on Monday night against Denver, but this is in New England. And the stat we had, ESPN had it, was it was 23 straight times a quarterback under 25 years old went into New England on their field, and they were 0-23 since 2001. That narrative with the reality of playing against the genius, Belichick, it felt like Kansas City played poorly relative to what we expected of them generally, not so much in this spot, in the first half. But then it was like Belichick's tricks. He saw enough that Mahomes started feeling comfortable or whatever. But he's like this amazingly evolving creature, like in a movie where you pull someone's tooth out and it's gone. But in the movie, you pull it out and it grows right back in. It's like Mahomes is learning so fast that by the second half, he looked as good as he has in most of the games this year. I would make the case you got 10 more regular season games, some tough ones, some high-pressure ones. Coming in the playoffs, I would feel Kansas City is going to be significantly better if all goes as expected than they are today.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
We love conspiracy theories on Straight Outta Vegas. We've thrown a few out from
time to time.
Is that
one I just threw out there?
You've got one regarding the Oakland Raiders that I find very interesting. And the Oakland Raiders who went to London and they got blown out. If you had the Raiders +2.5 or +3, too bad because you didn't have them +25. The Raiders lose by 24 to the Seattle Seahawks. Oakland's now 1-5 on the season. RJ, what does Vegas think of the current situation that is the Oakland Raiders?
Well, listen, I can speak for Vegas often, but I'm going to speak for RJ right now and say this. I am going to question, quite frankly, what game the Raiders are playing. And when I say game, I mean what scoreboard are they considering? And I have no inside information on this. I have no reason other than my logic to say it's true, and I certainly don't know that it's true. But by many accounts, the Raiders, the Davis family, has the least amount of liquidity, of cash flow, of any of the owners. And there's a little known rule that if you sign a guaranteed contract in the NFL, so let's say Khalil Mack gets signed, that you have to put a significant portion, a material portion of cash in escrow, so tucked away safe. So if somehow, some way you go bankrupt or whatever, the player is safe. And Colin intimated to this today. I don't know if it was to this, but talking about cash flow, talking about Colin's theory was, well, maybe the reason they didn't sign Mac was they couldn't afford him. Now, he didn't talk about the escrow or any of that. But then the question becomes, wait a minute. They just paid Gruden, you know, historical 10, what was that, a nine-figure contract, right? $100 million, 100 sticks, as they say in the hedge fund world. You know, that's when you know you're cool, Fez. We say dimes, right? It's like, hey, I lost 10 dimes on that game, or I won 10 dimes. But you don't say, hey, I won 3 sticks on that big poker game, do you?
No, I bet 2,000 with 2 vanilla chips.
Wags, 5 sticks wired now to Wendy Rhodes' personal account.
Now that's cool, right? We don't have that here. I'll admit, there's another level of cool. But if you really think about it, we don't ever contemplate the idea that owners don't have money. We just think the salary cap is something to somehow get around. But if you're the Davis family, and we say fast forward 5 years ahead of time, and you're in Vegas, and you've had a lot of high draft choices in that interim period, almost a trust the process, but without admitting it. And oh, by the way, you realize that you got some camouflage because you had the most famous or second most famous coach in the NFL. You had Gruden. So the first year, he's the one that cut Mack. It was his decision. And then in year two, he says, hey, yeah, we had a bad year last year, but hey, I had to clear out some deadwood. And year three, your first year in Vegas, so you all get embraced. And finally, maybe in this year five or six, maybe the Raiders are good. Maybe Gruden's there. Maybe he's not. Maybe you have to buy him out. And you hire some 33-year-old, the next McVay, because you're in Vegas now. But here's the question. How much more money does the Davis family have with a stadium, a great deal in Vegas than they have right now? And the question is, how do you get from here to there? And overpaying for the biggest bombastic name, personality in coaching, and having him be paid to defray the attention to get you to Vegas. So no matter how bad you are, Vegas is still excited. And we're going to be excited anyway. We're like the guy that's never got invited to the dance. And finally, we got invited to go bowling. That's hockey, let's say, and the Golden Knights, but still not the dance. Well, finally, when that first dance comes or that first girl invites you to the dance, yeah, maybe you like her dress, maybe you don't, but you're pretty excited to go to the dance.
She can dance with everyone else. I'm just happy to be inside the building.
Now, Fez, that sounds like a personal thing. We're going to leave that to you. But Fez jumped in out of nowhere with that one. That was interesting. But the fact of the matter is, does anyone doubt? And let me ask you, Jonas, you understand sports media, the sports world amazingly well. Do you doubt that 5-6 years from today, that the Raiders are in Vegas, everything's rock solid, and how much more are they worth? Do you agree that the financial problems, if they exist today, are no more?
I agree, because that's part of the reason that they're moving, right? They couldn't get it done in Oakland financially, so you got to go to some place where you can. And they're going to, and I can't wait for them in Vegas. I know you guys being there, it's going to be an awesome scene having the Raiders, an NFL team in Vegas, and I think they're perfect for it.
And we're all opening up the apps, the newspaper, and saying, oh, look at their record. Oh, look at Gruden. And Gruden's going to say, hey, I got a plan. What coach could have bought you three? Maybe come the end of year three, the problems are going to start. But wait a minute, they're going to be in Vegas anyway at that point. So what's the difference? Who gets you from today to Vegas without spending a lot of money other than his money? But his money relatively is what, half of what Mack would have made, not to mention all the other players they may or may not sign. It's like the Davis family bought a distraction to get him to Vegas. And once the Raiders get to Vegas, their problems are over. And, oh, by the way, coincidentally, a lot of high draft choices, all the Browns, has it where you have a heck of a team 3, 4, 5 years from now. Doesn't sound like a bad plan at all, but you have to distract. It's almost like a magician. Well, maybe the Raiders are playing a different game than we're playing. And because of that, and when I say we're talking wins and losses, covers and not covers. Maybe the Raiders are playing a different game. If they are, boy, if we're betting money on them, we better know it.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Steelers obviously entered the year one of the top five teams. They started the year record-wise poorly. I think playing-wise poorly. Fez, if you look at the scoreboard, oh, Big Ben pulled out another one, down by one late. you've got a different take.
Yeah, mainstream media narrative, really close game, could have gone either way. My narrative, Bengals got completely outplayed for the game, got outgained by 200-plus yards. Minor miracle that the Bengals almost stole another game. Bottom line in that division, Steelers contender, Ravens contender, Bengals pretender.
Yeah, I mean, if you think about it, that line opened 2.5. Bengals favored. 3 is home field. We're saying these are almost even teams. Steelers had an amazing history in Cincinnati. It continued. The stadium was almost, you know, what would you say percentage-wise, the stadium of Steeler fans?
I think at least 50% Steeler fans in Paul Brown Stadium.
And it was a driver of, it's been a driver of the Steeler success. And in Cincinnati, you know what's funny? We had the plus 2.5 in our pocket. I'm a fan and all, but late in the game, I felt so relaxed.
It's another example of your Steelers kicking my Bengals butt.
Yeah, but if you're down one driving and you got a plus 2.5 in your pocket, you're feeling pretty good.
Yeah, and the Bengals couldn't even hold them to a field goal. They even let them into the end zone.
Be sure to catch live editions of Straight Outta Vegas weekdays at 6 p.m. Eastern, 3 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.